Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. Of course, you know I go by Paul. I'm happy to be with you today. And of course, it is another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm here with my buddies. Hi, guys.
Hey, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, better known as Cher. And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. It's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And Cher and I are the co-founders of an online unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
And you can find us real quick by going to ucfyp.com. And be sure and check out our blog articles because we have tons of resources there. And you can sign up for our email list and get our Monday musings.
Yeah, and the Monday musing is really, really good.
Thank you.
I didn't comment on it this week because I was going faster than the speed of light, at least it seemed to be. And it's always good. It's always good. So thanks for that. And I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my absolute word, which is my version of Unity's Sunday daily word. And my calendar's there where I'm appearing in the Zoomiverse, hosted by various churches around the country and a little bit around the world. We're ready to start. Are you guys ready to start?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? We really ought to say, I'm going to use Bill's line. This is like our disclaimer. This is in our opinion. In our opinion, spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science and pseudoscience. And the fun is we could decide which is which.
That's right.
Exactly.
We're doing a series now on the premises. This is kind of a review. This is more of a deep dive, really getting down into these and understanding them. And the reason why I suggested this, and I'm glad Bill and Cher agreed, is I'm finding as I travel the country, people might know something like there's only one power and one presence in the universe, God, the good, omnipotence. They have no clue what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're just not connecting the dots. What we're doing now are the premises on demonstration or manifestation. You could call it expression. And once we know what these premises are, we can be more adept at using these unity teachings, which are primarily the useful ones are principles and laws. Last week, we were taking a little bit of a dive into the second one under demonstrations. In my book, by the way, Use the Truth You Know, Unity's Principles and Premises. And I'm going to read that and then share. I think we'll go to the quote that I promised from last week.
Good.
We already are and have all the principles, all the divine ideas we use to manifest our inner experience, our physical bodies and physical things and events. And another thing I noticed is I'm inviting people now to put those into the first person, to truly claim them. So I already am and have all the divine ideas I use to manifest my inner experience, my physical body and physical things and events. And I think that's
I love that. That's great.
It's just more empowering. So that's what we want. Unity is about radical self-responsibility. So this quote that Cher's going to read, of course, comes from Charles Fillmore, comes from his book, Prosperity, pages 72 and 73. And boy, I've used some quotes this week from Prosperity, and some of them just wreck the metaphysics. I'm just going to say that. They go traditional. They go to a traditional theology. Okay, Cher, take it away.
Okay, so here's the quote that he alluded to it at the end of our last week's podcast. So we promised that we would start off with this. We must look within for the law and not without. The laws we find in the outer are the secondary laws. The infinite creative mind has given to every one of us a key to the workings of this unfailing inner law. It is that everything we touch, mentally or physically, represents substance, divine ideas. and that it is limited only by ourselves in our thought capacity. We cannot ask God for more substance, for the universe is full of it. We can and should ask for understanding to lay hold of it with our mind. That is, for an increase in our capacity. Back of the substance is the substance idea, and man is related to the cause side of this idea through his oneness with God.
Wow, as you were reading this, I think this whole program might be just playing with this quote. Are you guys
good? That's quite a lot there. There's a bunch of stuff in there.
This is packed. So we must look within for the law and not without. This is a very fundamental idea that the laws that Unity talks about are the laws of mind, and we could call them the laws of consciousness. They tell us how to use our mind or how our minds work. And because they are immutable and unchangeable, we put them in the unchanging realm where principles are, because it makes no sense to put them in the changeable realm and act as if they're changing. And another thing I want to say is that in that next sentence, the laws we find in the outer are secondary laws. I don't know what he's referring to there. However, I consider the principles or the constants and laws that underlie science or mathematics or music, I consider those in the category of inner laws. Secondary laws are changeable, and those are the laws of the land, and they're more like rules.
Oh, okay.
You guys have any comments on all that?
Well, I like what you said there, because the laws on the exterior are more related to the environment that you happen to be in, whether it's in an environment that all of us are in at this point, planet Earth, for example, and in this universe, but it also would apply, the outer would also apply to the laws or associated with the particular dimension of being that you're in, if you believe that there are other dimensions.
Yeah.
I also want to boost back to what you read in the beginning when you said that we already are and have all the principles, the divine ideas that we need to manifest. I think that's important for people, because there's a reason that we do have all of them. It's because we are the human actualizations of this presence. So of course we have everything already. So our good doesn't necessarily come to us. It comes through us.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how I see it.
Yeah, and that goes back to the old-fashioned idea we only said about Jesus, fully human, fully divine. So those principles make us fully divine. And you would call our humanity the human actualization of that,
right. Correct? Exactly.
Okay, exactly. Fantastic. Then it goes on to say, the infinite creative mind has given to every one of us a key to the workings of this unfailing inner wall. Full stop. Because that's capital M mind. And that mind is not creative like we are creative. And for me, the divine ideas all have creative potential, and we're the ones who activate that. Mm-hmm. And so we are the creator, God isn't. And they weren't given, because that's what we innately are at some level. Mm-hmm. And this just gets back to that embedded theology. And this is an example where this is really going back to a God that, even if Fillmore said was within us, he's acting like it's with outside of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to just do a little deeper toe dipping for a second on the law, inner and outer, because one of the things we talked about when we dove into manifestation more, and we did a session or discussion around it, was, and I'm thinking the outer laws apply here, that another way when we look at manifestation, the outer laws are the laws that might be, or the principle, whatever it is that defines what it is we're working in. So like if we want to work on health, we need to understand the principles and laws related to healing, to what food does, to how energy and exercise affect our body and how our body works. And those are all secondary things, but if we don't understand them, we can't apply the fundamental principles and have them work.
I'm glad you said that, because that's a very important point. So our bodies operate according to a natural law, mm-hmm. or natural laws that I would put in the absolute realm. However, like you said, there's things we need to know about nutrition and exercise. And we could be claiming to the end of the earth, health, life, and wholeness. If we're not taking care of our bodies, we've misunderstood.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with money. I mean, living, Bill mentioned the realm we're living in, you know, in this existence, we have to understand how money works here. And that's why people who are totally not spiritual can be rich. You know, some people say, well, how come they're not practicing all these spiritual principles? How could they make money? Because they understand how money works in this skin school.
Exactly. And they have faith and conviction in that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
They're
absolutely.
They're using principle to do that. And most of the ones I've known, hasn't been many, they're having positive thinking. They're having affirmations that they can do this stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can do the prosperity principles and laws all day long again. And if you're having negative thinking about it and you don't know how to use Caesar's laws, as it used to be called.
Yes.
The laws, the changeable laws, then you're going to be up a creek.
Yep. Absolutely.
We got to quit acting like the outer realm, including our bodies, is somehow divorced from principle and law.
Yes.
True. Yep. And here's an example of being up the creek. If you spend more money than you make, you're going to run into difficulties.
Right.
Or and if you spend money on stupid stuff.
Yeah. The real obvious example of this is in churches. They'll make plans to do something that they don't currently have the money, and then they say God will provide.
Right.
And then when God doesn't provide, I ask him what's going wrong, and you get this, your eyes in the headlight, right?
Mm-hmm. And they say, you're coming from fear.
Right.
That's the phrase you always get when you ask a question like that. Well, you're just coming from fear.
Yeah. However, we have an answer now.
Yes, we do.
We're coming from fear because we love this church. Mm-hmm. And we can see a train wreck coming.
Yeah.
And all fear isn't bad.
Right. Sometimes it's a warning.
It is a predictor. That's a point you've made multiple times, Sharon, and it shall not be forgotten.
Mm-hmm. And the point you're making, that it comes from love, it is the fundamental point.
Are we good with that? Should we go to the next sentence?
That was two sentences.
this will be okay. So he talks about, I got to do the previous sentence. The infinite creative mind has given to every one of us a key to the workings of this unfailing inner law. What we would say is that key is within us.
Yes.
And it wasn't given to us. It's inherent, not inherited. And not given to us like a gift. And the problem with the gift idea and given is that the unspoken implication is it could be taken away. And then we're into the system of, if I'm good, I get to keep it. If I'm bad, mind will take it away. And that embedded theology is so intertwined that we have to start pulling it apart.
Yeah.
So here's the key. It is that everything we touch mentally or physically represents substance or divine ideas, and that it is limited only by ourselves and our thought capacity. Now, we're sharing this quote because of the importance of limitation. Here, Charles is making limitation sound bad, doesn't it? Right? And it should be how we limit it is the problem,
yes.
Right? How we limit it. And this is a concept that I keep drilling in my classes, and it's the hardest idea for people to get. When I say, where did your ego come from? And they say, from my consciousness or from my little web mind. They have a hard time understanding that everything that's changeable has an underlying divine idea. If there weren't a divine idea, it couldn't exist. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if I ask that question three times every class, it's probably a low estimate. And I always get this stare. And so I hammer this, and hopefully by the end of the week when I'm teaching, they got it. But who knows, after they leave, what happens? And this is an important idea, that divinity is fundamental to everything that changes.
Yes.
Everything that changes. Absolutely fundamental. And when we use the word substance, that's a, and don't define it, that's a too vague of a word. People don't, and people don't know what substance is.
Most people think substance is the manifestation itself.
Yes, the physical thing.
And here it's defined as divine ideas, which is very different.
Yes. So Charles had three definitions for this capital S substance stuff. And one of them is a synonym for all divine ideas, which makes it a synonym for mind, which makes it a synonym for God. It this is so convoluted.
Yeah.
However, you don't know that, you're going to be in trouble. And the other major way refers to substance as the divine idea or principle of perfect form.
Oh, wow.
If you have something physical, the principle of substance is involved. Now, watch this. This was a da-ha moment this week. You know how students are always asking us if there's a 12th, a 13th power?
Uh-huh.
Substance might be it, because the 12 powers are always in relation to the body. And you can't have form without substance.
No substance. Duh. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so we're going to go on. We cannot ask God for more substance, for the universe is full of it. You can't ask God for substance because you can't ask God for anything. Yeah. Right? And Bill made this point a moment ago. All the substance there is, all the divine ideas that there are already available everywhere.
Yep.
Everywhere.
Yep.
And we access them, our awareness, at least we access them through our little M minds, through our thinking, feeling nature.
That's it. Yeah.
That's what we do. And then he says, we should ask for understanding. No, thank you. I claim understanding.
Claim understanding.
I put
he got the right power there. He did get the right power to claim the understanding.
Yes, I claim the understanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I claim it, I'm laying hold of it.
So and then you better use your will to create it or use it.
You have to use will to choose to claim it.
Right, because you can know stuff and not do it.
We can and should ask for understanding, lay hold of substance with our mind. That's what he's referring to. So here's another problem. People can get lost in the pronouns.
Yes.
And not know what it is referring back to. We can and should ask for understanding to lay hold of substance with our mind. That is for an increase in our capacity. And it's conscious awareness and conscious capacity.
Right.
Back of substance is a substance idea. And man is related to the cause side of this idea through his oneness with God. Each of us is related to the cause side of this idea because we are divine.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it should say. We are.
So that's divine. The absolute word version of Fillmore's quote.
We're having to do that. And I'm having to, so I call it deconstructing and reconstructing in 2020.
Yep, really.
So
that's important. It's so important. And it's not dissing Fillmore. It's just bringing it to what we know now.
Well,
and I'm using Charles Fillmore's definitions to do this.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Right.
And what's neat about what you've got, Paul, with your absolute word is that you're allowing people today in the 21st century, 2020, to understand the difference between reading from the original writings, but updating their meaning in today's language, because we are moving toward a renaissance in thinking, but you can't steal second base with your foot on first.
You can't. And the way I've been saying it now, we cannot escape the gravitas of our old language and expect to have a higher understanding.
Well, there you go.
That's,
yeah.
Yep.
And I just want to note, so in that sentence, back of the substance is the substance idea. That first substance should not be capitalized. There you go. All right. So we're going to take a look at the absolute word.
Speaking of absolute word.
Right. Speaking of it, the absolute word is based on Sunday messages as appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unley publication, and has been used with permission. So this is for November 8th, 2020. The word is well-being. The word was healing. Originally, we don't do that. I vigorously embrace divine life, wholeness, and health. I vigorously embrace divine life, wholeness, and health. If my body experiences any kind of health challenge, I turn within to release all fear and concern from my consciousness, knowing illness is never, ever a part of my divinity. I decree life, wholeness, and health now. I remember that life, wholeness, and health are inherent aspects of my spiritual beingness. I release any power or importance given to anxiety as I fill my consciousness with thoughts, feelings, and images of total well-being. I visualize each and every cell aglow with vitality. I appreciate my body's marvelous functions. I intentionally provide my body with rest, exercise, and good nutrition. I speak affirming words, claiming my body's total well-being. I am grateful for the principles of life, wholeness, and health. I know wholeness and health are already mine in consciousness. I vigorously embrace divine life, wholeness, and health. Yeah. That one rocks.
That's something everybody should copy and put up and just look at every day. That's amazing.
And not only in these COVID times, but every day.
Every day.
Every day, right? We want to be claiming our well-being.
That's brilliant. I love the way that's written, Paul.
Good job. Thank you. Wow. And I'm taking more liberty actually with the absolute word and trying to insert more and more what I conceive as the highest understanding of the teachings. Mm. And after all, we're writing this for the people that are on our level of understanding or wanting to be there. And I'm really liking the word decree. The Bible says, Bible again, share, decree a thing, right? So I'm decreeing it. And I guess we ought to decree, goodbye, folks. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. I appreciate Bill and Cher. Thank you, guys. Say goodbye to our friends.
Thank you so much. And thanks for listening to us. We love being part of this.
And it's been our privilege to be with you again.
Amen.